Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Remember the term essential workers? Yeah, during the COVID lockdown, doctors, nurses, police officers, grocery store clerks, postal workers, childcare providers, they were all deemed essential and got praise from local and state leaders. So 5 years on, has that label led to any lasting change? And what are the pandemic's essential workers up to now? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We were joined by Hannah Chavez. She was a grocery store worker in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood during the pandemic. Also with us was Sharif Nasser, founder and CEO of the daycare and nursery Caterpillar Care, which has multiple locations in Chicago. And on the line, we had Elise Foster, president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 11, which serves Chicago, Evanston, Lombard, Maywood, and other areas. We began with what it was like to be labeled an essential worker during that time. Were they surprised that their role was considered so crucial? Hannah kicked us off.
No, not at all. You know, like people need groceries. People need groceries. Like the one thing people could do during the pandemic and the only way people could get out of the house for a long time. So we were necessary in that regard. You know, we had to stock the shelves. We had to, you know, bring the food to the people. And we did.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Sharif? Your world, you're taking care of little ones, right?
Yeah.
No surprises that was considered crucial.
Exactly. So, yeah, I find that the work that we do is very important just to be able to get working families out there so that they can work. And so for us, it's always kind of just been an essential thing for us to be around in order to help everyone do what they need to do.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't change, you know, because it was nothing changed with what we needed to do. We're doing what we're accustomed to doing, which is providing premium care for working families.
Right.
Yeah.
Elise, what was it like being labeled essential?
Well, for letter carriers, you know, we was out there each and every day. We provide a service to the American people. And when everything shut down, as you all know, with COVID, things came through the U.S. mail, and we kept this country going with the things that the customers needed, the packages, the medicine, you know, information they needed. And we was also the lifeline of sending COVID information tests through the mail that they needed. So we know that we are important. You know, the Postal Service never shut down, but we go everywhere every day, and we essential to that to provide information to the American people that they need as a part of survival.
Yeah, so in each of these industries, no surprises that things didn't shut down for you like it did for so many of your peers and you know, your friends and family. What was it like, though? Because I remember that time, I'm going to take you back to 2020, when everyone was afraid, right? We didn't want to touch anything. We didn't want to breathe near anyone else. There was so much uncertainty around COVID and what it was and how it was going to spread and how it could harm you. So what was that like, Hannah, working in person during that fear and uncertainty?
Yeah, I don't think I really knew the enormity of it until afterwards, and just how scared we all were and how much it impacted our daily lives.
Yeah.
You know,
some of our masks were even questionable back then.
Yeah, everything was questionable.
We were doing some makeshift masks. Remember that?
Yeah. And, you know, we weren't fully protected. We were a public-facing job. And, you know, where do you draw the line?
Yeah. What was it like at the daycare centers, Sharif?
I feel like it was a tremendous responsibility on us to first digest all the information that was coming from the CDC and all of the governmental agencies, City of Chicago, DCFS. It was ever evolving. So we'd be up all odd hours of the night, just kind of digesting the information first, and then having to relay that information as quickly as possible to our parents, our families. And so we felt a huge burden on getting it right and making the right choice, whether we needed to close or whether we needed to open. And then also preparing ourselves with all the PPE gear. Man, that was...
So did you have access to
It was a challenge. Pretty unconventional, the things that we had to do. We were running around going to just random stores in order to find basic things like hand sanitizer, Lysol or disinfectant spray, face masks, nitrile gloves. So it was a challenge and we would get priced out pretty often. A box of nitrile gloves went from maybe $5-$6 to $110 a box. And you'd have hospitals contending with you or medical practices contending with you. To buy the same inventory because the supply chain was just broken.
It became quite competitive.
Yeah.
I remember that so well. What was it like for your workers, Elise? Did they have access to PPE, like masks?
No. When it first started, we didn't have all the equipment that we needed, the protective gear. So as a union, we went out and seek things from different vendors. We went to a distillery and we get the hand sanitizer. Sharif was saying that it wasn't available. You know, we was competing, the Postal Service competing with the price gouging on these things that we needed. And we had to go out and seek other help from other agencies that would donate things to us to keep the postal workers afloat. Now, we're not immune to working, like I said, in certain instances and the breakouts when things happen, like we did the anthrax, you know, with the powder.
Right, right.
You know, we needed the gloves. We was out there. We couldn't stop. And just to think that a powder substance can just end your life. And it's something to talk about. It's something to think about, you know, and we want to go home to our families, you know, each and every day too. But that's something that we have to do in the performance of our duty. We have to still go out there and serve the American people. And sometimes we don't have that PPE that we need.
Yeah.
For basic survival.
Yeah, it's a very real thing to have to contend with at that time. And now while you're there, you're working for these companies. I mean, I'm thinking of you, Hannah. There's a difference in feeling valued from your employer in spirit and also being valued in dollars and cents, right? Again, you're on the front line, you're risking your life. Was there any additional compensation or benefits from the grocery store that you worked for?
So Amazon owns Whole Foods and they gave us $2 extra an hour, which according to commerce.gov, it does qualify as hazard pay. Hazard pay is when you are putting your life on the line at your job. But I think the sentiment that was felt among me and my fellow workers was that Amazon made $21 billion in profit in 2020 alone. And so a $2 raise an hour was just a slap in the face.
Hear you.
It was insulting.
Yeah. I remember talking to you about that the first time you were on the program. Was that for a limited time, that raise?
Yes. Most of the benefits were for a limited time. For 3 months, we were able to, our point system paused. So if you got a certain number of points, you were terminated. So we didn't have that for 3 months. But the points that should have rolled off during that time did not roll off. So people were having additional points in their system being held against them after that point.
Were your workers offered anything additional during the pandemic, Sharif?
They were, yeah. I mean, in general, we're pretty competitive and pretty selective with our staff. But I really have to give it to them because I can't say that I was the essential worker necessarily, right? It was my educators, the teachers.
Yeah.
The teachers, my educators. They were really the ones that were out there on the front lines dealing with children. Dealing with children already is is very challenging,
that can
as you know.
Be very challenging.
Exactly. So. You know, with COVID, it really just kind of increased the need to really zero in on all of these protocols and so on and so forth. A lot of stuff came, like, it was very unnatural too, right? Like the distancing, you remember the 6 feet and the quarantine and all of that.
The social distancing.
So I really have to give it to them because they were the ones that made a conscious effort to go out there and do the work that they needed to do in order for the first responders to be able to go and do what they needed to do. So it was very much like a synergy, like having everyone working in.
Yeah. So Caterpillar Care, even though a few daycare centers actually shut down back in 2020, Caterpillar Care remained open and you all were taking care of the kids of essential workers like doctors and nurses nearby.
For the most part, yeah. I'd say probably about 85 or 90% of the time we were open.
Wow.
If there were any closures, it was because we absolutely needed to close because the guidance was just really fuzzy or gray at that time. Or there was just a lack of the PPE gear that we needed. But for the most part, I think the fact that we were proactive with sourcing all of the things that we needed in order to stay safe, keep the environment clean, the face masks, appropriate face masks,
right.
Of course, for our teachers, that made all the difference in the world. And I have to say, like, you know, just communicating with the families and giving them confidence that we're not just saying we're doing these things. We actually had to train and kind of like revisit how we operate day to day. So we would have like morning meetings, midday meetings. We'd be checking in frequently. If there was anything that was really exhausting that I remember about the pandemic, it was just like the communication and the over communication.
Well, the guidance kept changing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So we'll talk a second about just how in the world you all kept up with that.
Because
I know I struggled as the person who had to deliver the information. Elise, tell us about your union's members. I mean, were they offered anything additional to work during the pandemic? Or did the union have to sort of step in and negotiate things like more wages or better benefits?
Well, no, we was advocating and fighting for hazardous pay. I know there was something in Congress in the bill that it was taken out. So the hazard pay was off, you know, taken out for us to get hazardous pay. So we was in negotiation right now. Actually, right now, we in arbitration right now with our contract.
Okay.
Because essential workers, we should be paid like that. We wasn't offered anything. And then we had to fight just to take off when COVID affected one of the letter carriers. You know, our families, we had to fight to take off. And sometimes they took off with no pay.
Mm.
You know, once that exhausted, and if you didn't have any leave, there was no other type of protection for you. And you had to get back to work. So my members, we didn't feel, you know, if it was essential, we wasn't treated and we wasn't paid accordingly to our work that we had
right.
to do in that crisis, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Makes total sense. So, Hannah, how would you say being an essential worker changed you?
I think it radicalized me, honestly.
How so?
You know, to work for a company that is making billions of dollars in profits while you and your coworkers are struggling to stay housed or, you know, keep food on the table or are the only breadwinners for your family, like, it's just mind-blowing to think that these profits aren't being shared in a time when so many people needed that.
And did you come to this realization in real time, you think, or is this reflection years later?
Real time. Absolutely real time. Like, right away. You know, there were walkouts planned with multiple Whole Foods, and I was very on board with that, and I was trying to get my stores involved in that, and I did try to do some organizing, but Amazon is a huge company, and as you know from the strikes going on recently, like, they do not like unions, so...
Sounds like that was challenging for you.
Yeah, but it's still something I'm passionate about, and I think that the workers need to rise up.
And we talked a moment ago, Sharif, about just getting kids to adhere to CDC guidance and sanitizing and social distancing. I imagine a lot of surfaces and toys had to be sanitized to keep the kids from getting sick. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we just needed to up the effort, right? Like it was, it wasn't just like wipe the toys down at the end of the day. It's just wipe them down every time they're used.
Yeah.
And then keep them specific to each child. But it was a lot more than that too. It was just, you know, of course, the age group that we serve and care for, 6 weeks to 3 years of age, yes. You know, it's how do you get that message across to them?
And so. That's also such a tender age to be responsible for at a time when around us, people were dying.
And yet,
like, let's be real here. People were dying.
Oh, yeah.
And you are responsible for the most precious cargo.
Yeah. And that's one of the things where I have to give it to the families, right? Because we really are humbled by and honored that the families had so much faith and trust in us to get it right. And that speaks volumes because this was a virus. This was a pandemic that was killing people. And so for them to bring their child in was really a show of confidence that we had it right.
Yeah.
That our centers, our facilities were clean, our schools were clean, that we were following the protocol. And trust me, if a parent saw something that they did not like during the pandemic, they would let you know. They would absolutely, I mean, they let you know just day to day when you're operating, right? These are their children. And so having discerning clients, I think, is a given, right? Yeah. And I think that it's their right. It's incumbent on them to be discerning. But, I mean, we really just had to step it up, you know? And so I think if anything, you know, glass half full outlook, we actually became better. Because as good as we already were, I think we just became better. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those practices, a lot of the protocol for like infectious diseases and stuff like that, it has helped us to just be better at operating day to day. And so like the things we learned from CDPH with the City of Chicago, from DCFS, Department of Children and Family Services, and then also from the CDC, it's just a wealth of knowledge. It's so much knowledge, it can become almost overwhelming.
You'll be ready for the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
right.
Let's see that. Well, before I let you all go, I mean, talk to me about whether you feel that label of essential and the level of value that you were given back in 2020 for your role, whether that's sort of carried over to today. And if you had your way, what would that value for your role as a store clerk, as a postal worker, as a childcare provider, what would that look like today? You first, Elise.
Well, I would say that we need to be compensated for the work that we do. And I think it has opened up our eyes to a lot of things and how to protect ourselves. So like you say, when the whole city or the country shut down, the postal, everything was going through the U.S. mail. We had to touch things. We had to pick up packages that went through all type of households and businesses with people that were sick or whatever. We don't know. So we are putting ourselves on the line each and every day, and that we should be treated fairly and we should be compensated according to the work that we do.
Yeah.
And I think my members and I think the customers can appreciate the letter carriers out there each and every day that they do, because we bought hope and some type of resolution to their households to get for survival.
Yeah.
And that we need to be treated as such and paid.
Hannah, what would you say?
I agree with everything Elise just said. Proper compensation, but there also needs to be a cultural shift. You know, the people who can and should make changes need to do so.
Sharif?
I think the idea of us being essential workers, like it, the label has kind of diminished, you know, over the last 5 years. So it's not that we hear that term specifically in our role, but I do think that the work we do is essential. It's essential every day.
Yeah.
It's essential and always will be in order to enable working families to go and do what they need to do, first responders to do what they did. And so I also wanted to, like, while I had this opportunity, say that we also appreciated the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs, police officers, firefighters. Many of them are our clients. So, you know, it...
And still performing all of that essential service.
Exactly. So, yeah, the label may have diminished over the years.
Yeah.
But I think that we're still doing the essential work that we've always done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there. Sharif Nasser is CEO of the Children's Nursery Caterpillar Care Chicago. Elise Foster is president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 11. And Hannah Chavez is now an educator and was a grocery store worker in Lakeview during the pandemic. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Subscribe to the podcast to never miss an episode or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again on Monday.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely